Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, we are fortunate enough to have an in-studio guest, Ms. Gwen McDaniel. She will be talking to us about multi-generational households. We will be right back after this commercial break. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell and Ms. Gwen McDaniel. So today, our in-studio guest, Ms. Gwen McDaniel, is going to talk to us about multi-generational households. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about Ms. McDaniel. She's a native of Oxford, Mississippi. Since 1983, she and her family have enjoyed living in the Atlanta metro area for the past 35 years. In her 33-year career, she has been in the insurance industry and helped guide her to focus on educating their customers on ways to protect their family, using insurance as a tool to recover in the event of a loss of property, health concerns, or the unfortunate loss of life to the primary wage earner in the family. Over the years, she partnered with nonprofit organizations to help educate community groups on health issues that impact their families. Gwen took a special interest in the senior citizens market. She often asked herself, what keeps seniors from living their best life, and wondered how she could help. Well, in late 2005 through 2008, Gwen's family was personally affected by health concerns that she shared with the community groups over the years. She realized that it doesn't take a lot to shake the foundation of the family. When her husband, Woody, suffered a stroke in 2005 and everything in their life changed, in 2006, she decided to retire from her 33-year job career and focus on her husband's health. Unfortunately, in March of 2008, Witte passed away, and since that time, Gwen has dedicated herself to educating those around her how to get excited about staying healthy, understanding medical options, building support systems, and just enjoying life. She became a business owner, and for the past 10 years, she has conducted health group sessions to educate others on to build businesses to meet their family financial and health goals. That's a lot. So you've done But I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
I really do appreciate it. I know you're pretty much an expert on this topic because, again, you have been dealing with the senior citizens within a community. I think talking about multi-generational households is very important simply because I've been seeing that it is on the rise. And I know it started with the first recession. I think, or I'm not going to say the first recession, the last recession, which was in 2008, I believe it was. So somewhere from 2008 to 2011, we thought the trend was going to abate, or the researchers did, but that's not what we've been seeing. So with that being stated, before we even get started, I always like to define what the topic is. So can you even tell us, what does a multi-generational household mean? What is that?
Thanks, Donna. I appreciate sharing some information with your audience today. You know, the multi-generational household looks different for each household. I can remember years ago when the television program Dallas was on, right? And so you had multiple families in one household. And we got away from that. You know, families kind of scattered. People left home, went their own ways. And it really left a void when it comes to the closeness of a lot of families, which we were used to for years. And so now I see families coming back together. So now you have multiple generations that are coming back home for various reasons and living under one roof. Okay. And I've seen that in my community. I've personally experienced it. And so there are a lot of pros and cons. I find more pros than cons to this way of life on a temporary basis, at least.
I was going to say, just because your family's listening, let's be honest. No. So I know you mentioned that they come back for, you know, multi-generational households have basically it happens like that for various reasons.
Sure.
So with that being stated, can you give us some of the reasons or some of the most common reasons that we end up living in multi-generational households?
Well, you know, there are several different reasons why people do this. You look at, well, there are divorces. That create that. There are downsizing in different companies make it very difficult for some families, particularly the single family households when that happens. When you look at my generation, the baby boomers, we're kind of like what they call the sandwich generation. Because we're taking care of mom or dad, and then we have children on the other end who have children. And as a result of either job change or illness, some of the families are experiencing drugs or alcohol or various things that cause a lot of families to have to merge together. And as a result of all these differences, a lot of people are having to come back home. One of the things that I see that I like is that younger people, rather than just leaving home immediately once they finish school, a couple of them are choosing to stay home a couple of years, you know, get a little savings together and then go out on their own. So that keeps them home a little longer. But illnesses, I find, is a huge reason as to why a lot of families come together.
Okay. And so I'm going to digress a tad bit, and then we're going to come back. We're going to come back to the multi-generational household because that's very important when you say illnesses. So what happens when you're living in a multi-generational household? You've been accustomed to living by yourself or with one other person. All of a sudden, someone gets sick, and so you have to take on the role of caregiver, but then you have some other people moving into your home as well, like maybe say a son Mm-hmm. Okay, something has happened with your son, or maybe he's back home from college, like you said, trying to save up some money mm-hmm. before he moves out. But then you have a husband that all of a sudden has fallen ill. So that's kind of, to a degree, I think what they call two generational, because they mm-hmm. have it broken down into different areas. When your son comes back from college, I'm going to make it a little bit more complex. So he has a child mm-hmm. as well. So he's moving the child into the house mm-hmm. as well, the baby. Again, you've taken on the role of caregiver. How do you take care of yourself when you're adjusting to new people coming back in the home? Plus, now you have this other stressor of being a caregiver. How do you take care of yourself?
You know, that is a challenge. And unfortunately, most of the time, we don't take care of ourselves.
Okay.
Initially, probably a couple of months, you know, we think that we are a superwoman, that we got it, and we go, you know, we can handle it all. But after a couple of months, the stress really takes hold, and you have to get everybody in the household on one level. You got one playing field. You got to say, look, I can't do this all by myself, so we've got to talk about how we're going to get through this. Illness brings on tremendous stress because your heart reaches out and you want to take care of the person who's ill the best that you can. But then there's increased expenses that comes with that. You've got doctor's appointments that have to be made. So if you're still working when this happens, then you've got to make adjustments in the household and say, who's going to take that person to the doctor? If they're unable to do so themselves, if the bills change as a result of utilities, because mm-hmm. they may be on special equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to think of all those things. And it really takes everybody coming together to make it work. If children are coming back into the household, then you want that child to be a child, but then that child, the noise and other things could interfere
right.
with the health of the person who's in the house, depending on mm-hmm. the length
mm-hmm.
Or depending on how, I wouldn't say the length, depending on the extreme illness
okay.
of that person.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things that come into play, and I've always believed that it truly does. It's not just a cliche. It truly takes a village
okay.
to take care of a family, and not only just the children. You know, when you bring a parent back in the household with you, there are other things that are now into play. So my life at this point, I have an 86-year-old mom.
Mm-hmm.
Who is still headstrong about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've tried to get her to come and, stay with us. And she'll go, I got a house. Why? I need to come stay with you. And yet we're concerned about her well-being because she's like 6.5 hours away mm-hmm. when you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so you either compromise and you say, okay, come stay a couple of months. And then you let her go back home, and mm-hmm. then you got to travel those 6.5 hours.
Right.
And somebody's got to go over there and stay. So it's a lot of different adjustments that you have to make,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be willing to make those adjustments if you're going to make that household work.
So what I want to do, I want to go ahead and go to break a little sooner because there are a few more questions I wanted to ask you, and they're going to take a little bit longer
okay.
than a minute to ask. So, everyone, you have been listening to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell and Ms. Gwen McDaniel. We are talking about multi-generational households, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
Thank you. The next time we see each other, maybe years and years from now. Family reunion, got to have a family reunion. Family reunion, it's so nice to come together, get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. I sure miss her face and a warm and tender embrace.
All right. Thank you, my illustrious engineer, Mr. Deshaun, helping me out with my old people's music. Much appreciated, much appreciated.
You know, you're truly welcome.
All right. We're back in the enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell and Ms. Gwen McDaniel, where we are talking about multi-generational households. And Mr. Smith, even though we're going to continue to talk about this, of course, if you have a question, you can always jump in and ask a question. All right. Okay, Ms. McDaniel, before we went on break, I know you mentioned some of the changes that can happen in the household, and especially if there's an individual who may be ill, you know, then you kind of have to parcel out or discuss, okay, who's going to take this person to their doctor's appointment? You may discuss, okay, who's going to help me? You didn't mention this. I'm going to mention this. Okay, I'm going to need for you to help me clean up the house because I'm running around with this person here mm-hmm. taking care of A, B, and C. Or people may have to chip in, you know, taking care of certain expenses. Okay, and this is just in general, not just when you're talking about, even though I gave the example of when there's an individual who may have a chronic illness or a terminal illness, but also if someone moves in the house and they have lost their job, mm-hmm. you know, that also increases utility bills and things of that nature. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you, you know, what are some of those conversations that you need to have before someone moves in? Or sometimes we don't know that people are going to move in, so very soon after they move in, like in terms of privacy and things of that nature, tell me some of the conversations we need to have and how we need to approach those things.
You know, I think that that is such a valid point, because in order to keep everything functioning in the household and keep down strife, keep loving one another, you know, all of it centers around communication. So I think it's very appropriate to say, you know, we can work through this and I'm willing to help you, but there are some boundaries, mm-hmm. there are some privacy issues, there are some things that I have going on in my household that I want to keep that way, but I want to work with you and some things you're doing. And it's different if you have someone that comes in by themselves or if they come in with children. Mm-hmm. Because if they come in with children, while you still understand children are children, you still have to teach them respect for other people things and rooms. You don't mm-hmm. just burst into other people's rooms. If the door is closed, what does that mean? Talk about washing. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about additional right. expenses, man. You talk about washing every day. Okay. Some people wash every day.
Okay.
Some wash twice a week. And all of those things mm-hmm. make a lot of difference. So you got to get an agreement on who's going to do what. And you've got to think about what is it that you can help with. Is it groceries? Maybe you have a part-time job. Can you help a little bit with utilities?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, even parking your car in the driveway.
Leaving first in the morning,
yeah.
Or don't
blame you. I'm going like, you are parking your car in the garage. Right. Okay, this side is yours. This is mine, so that we don't interfere with
right.
each other.
Right.
It's just a lot of things you don't ordinarily think about, but it's very plausible. There are a lot of pros mm-hmm. That I see as far as coming together. Is it okay to talk about those a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because when families come together, and I can tell you from personal experience with mine, I've moved 6.5 hours away from my mom. So my children didn't get a chance to see my mother as often as I saw my grandparents mm-hmm. because we were all very close in proximity when I was growing up. So a lot of times now that families have moved away from the grandparents, they don't get to understand them and learn them as much. My mom now, having come back to our household off and on, it has really helped with them learning her. They have a lot of fun with her.
Mm-hmm.
And just her having general conversations with them is a rich experience that a lot of people that have moved away from home, mm-hmm. their children don't get a chance to get. So I really think it brings the families closer, and it helps with an understanding. Now that I have to go and care for my mom, mm-hmm. I tell my children, I am showing you one-on-one what I expect when I get there.
Okay.
You know, I'm praying that I'm healthy, my mind is alert, but, you know, I'm showing them that we are responsible for taking care of our elderly.
Okay.
And it's not a job or it's something that, you know, you're going to dread.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love that you have for one another that makes sure that you want to do whatever you can to make the rest of their lives
okay.
One that is of the best.
Okay.
So
how do you think, what are some of the things you think that your children may be learning from their grandmother, your mother, in terms of character or in terms of some of your grandmother's experiences when she was younger? Are any of those things ever shared at all?
Well, yes, because my mom used to sing and dance and all that stuff. So when she's here, for the children to hear her sitting in either the television's mm-hmm. on or the radio's on, mm-hmm. and she starts to sing some songs, they just get really tickled. for them to be with me, even as a grand, and we're dancing together, or they see me do something, they're going, wow, Grandmama, you can do that? I'm going, look, you all are only doing what we used to do, and it's a different name.
Yeah.
And so, so you know, they're amazed to see that even I, as a grandparent, mm-hmm. can dance and sing and all.
Right.
But to see their great-grandmom mm-hmm. do that is really interesting to them. So they're learning how to love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
When health issues are involved, you know, there will be situations that'll come up that's not pleasant,
okay.
but you have to learn to work through those. So just teaching them to love and respect one another is a big part of it. And knowing that everybody's got to help, everybody's got to
mm-hmm.
pitch in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I find to be one of the pros of having grandchildren
okay.
or great-grandchildren involved with this.
Now, what do you think some of the cons are, if there are any?
Well, it was an adjustment with privacy. It's an adjustment with even the person who moved in with you.
Okay.
You know, they have to make that adjustment. They lost their privacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so everybody wants to be in a position where they think they're a king or queen of their castle. And so there are adjustments that everybody has to make. But the thing is, if you talk about it, keep the communication open, there's nothing that I see that is off limits of talking about.
Okay.
And if you keep respect for one another, you can almost talk about anything.
How difficult is it for you as a mother to have an adult child living with you and still allow that adult child to have the amount of freedom that they have when they're living on their own? How difficult do you think that is?
One of the things that helps me is that my house is big enough for us. So I have plenty of room.
Okay.
And that's different than if you're in an apartment and you're in each other's way, right?
Right.
So I'm able to give that space.
Okay.
And we've talked about just the extra things that that person needs, but also realizing that I'm dealing with an adult. This is not a child coming back into my house. Mm-hmm. So I'm not here asking them where they're going and where they've been and what they're doing.
Okay.
I give the freedom of them to be an adult. Now, the toughest thing is if they're going to come in your house 2 and 3 in the morning or 4 and 5 in the morning and interrupt your sleep.
Okay.
Now, that's totally different. But I truly believe that the respect on both sides is important. And if you need to stay out to 3, then stay out all night. And I see you in the morning.
Okay. So you that's know? Something that, so basically that's, so basically that's something that needs to be, that's one of those
that
discussions.
You got to talk about
that's
it.
That's one of those discussions that you need
yeah,
to have.
Yeah, because if they interrupt that sleep or, you know, wake you up, I'm okay. I know that if you're hurt and something really serious is going on, either the police going to call or the hospital's going to call and let me know something's going on.
Okay.
Other than that, I trust God that he's going to take care of you and you'll be just fine. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. So we have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you one more question and then you can tell us where we can find you, you know, and kind of reiterate the type of work you do and those types of things. My last question is this: how difficult or what advice would you give someone who has grandchildren living in the house along with the parent? How difficult or what advice would you give another person in that situation in terms of how not to become so involved with the discipline of those children when you have a responsible parent that's also living in the house of those children?
And that's extremely important because you've got to keep the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to know that you're the grandparent and the you're a grown child has to come in knowing that you're not going to take their responsibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're there to help and assist and love and care from a grandparent's perspective, but you shouldn't have to do all the cooking for your grandkids. If you want to, you do it when you want to. You don't take on another job. You're not taking on the kitchen and taking on all those responsibilities. Everybody has something to do. But the way you keep it all in respect for one another is that you don't try to be the parent. You're the grandparent.
Okay.
And in doing so, whatever you need to do to pitch in when you can, you do.
Okay.
And when it gets to be too much, you say so because they can't read your mind. And if you keep that open communication, then, you know, you can keep it on one keel. There will be times that you'll need to talk about it, you know, intermittently.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have your set ways of how your household was before they came in. But don't be afraid to do that for fear you're going to interrupt somebody or make them feel bad or whatever. It's still your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still queen or king of your castle.
Right.
But establishing that up front helps. And to, if you have to, bring it back to the forefront and talk about it again.
Okay.
It'll be okay.
All right. You guys have been listening to Ms. Gwen McDaniel in the Enclave. We've been talking about multi-generational households. So before we leave out, we have about 30 seconds. Tell us where we can find you and what services you provide if we need to find you.
I am in the health arena, Dr. Sewell, and I'm helping people improve their health through the understanding of medications. So I help them work through their doctor with getting a test to find out if their medication is the right med for them. And I also help families identify hereditary cancers. So we do screenings for that. I can be reached at 678-576-9278. That's 678-576-9278. And my business is to live well. Mm-hmm. My intent and my mission is to help people live a better life.
All right. And do you have a show on the Old Fashioned Health Network?
I do have several shows on the Old Fashioned Health
Network.
And we concentrate primarily on senior living. So it's some great, great topics and information out there for the seniors. I am a senior. I'm even a great-grandmother. So that brings in a lot of experiences in life.
All right. Thank you, Ms. McDaniel. This has been Gwen McDaniel again blessing us with all of this knowledge as an in-studio guest on the Wellness Enclave. As usual, I hope you guys have a fantastic day and a happy and healthy week. And you've been listening to Dr. Sewell on the Wellness Enclave. I will talk to you on next week.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you. We'll